In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus' ascension secures for us God's eternal promise of life with Him forever. Jesus' ascension secures for us God's promise of life with Him forever. Now, it's easy to see how Good Friday and Easter Sunday do that, but how does Ascension Thursday add anything here? Remember, the ultimate goal of God's love for us, what is His guiding will? It's that we should be reconciled with Him so that we would live with Him and in Him forever, united with Him in love. That's what our salvation means. That is Christ's work for us. So Jesus came from the Father, was incarnate by the power of the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary as a fully human man, yet still God. To take our place, to be the sacrificial lamb and suffer in human flesh, Jesus denied Himself for a time. On His path from virgin womb to borrowed tomb, He set aside His divine rights and powers and attributes. We call this Jesus' state of humiliation. He submitted Himself to His own law. He lived by faith in God while enduring the temptations of Satan, the scorn of the world, and the weakness of human flesh. He carried all of our humanity in Himself. So whatever happens with Jesus applies to all of us. In Jesus' fulfillment of the law is fulfilled for us. All of Jesus' righteousness and faithfulness is credited to our account. We were all of us crucified with Christ, all of us united with Jesus in His death, so that the punish for all of our sin is dealt with. And if we've been united with Him in a death like His, we will be united with Him in a resurrection like His and an ascension like His. In each of these, and on every step of the way from our enslavement and exile in Satan's kingdom back to our freedom in our Father's house, Jesus, our shepherd, leads the way for us, His sheep. We follow Jesus through this valley of the shadow of death, through it and out of it, into the new land of resurrection life to live in God's presence forever. Where Christ the head goes, the church, His body, us, well, we go also. So it is with Jesus' ascension. Jesus has returned in victory to the right hand of the Father in the throne room of heaven, returned with all honor and glory and authority and dominion over heaven and earth. And Jesus now sits on that throne, not just as God, but as a man, one of us. One of our brothers has ascended to the Holy of Holy of Holies, to the very heart of God, and has brought us with Him. Jesus has elevated our humanity and gone where even the very good Adam could not go even before the fall. In Jesus, man is not only with God now, but in God, and He in us. That is what our salvation has been leading to. That is what the New Jerusalem, what Zion, is all about. That is the ultimate and eternal union of law in love that we have all been longing for, that all of salvation history has been barreling towards, trampling underfoot the sin, the death, the devil, the world that has tried to stand in the way. Jesus' ascension secures for us God's promise of life with Him forever. With Him, and life in Him forever. And Jesus, well, He brings that glorious future, that union of God and man, heaven and earth, and perfect love. Jesus brings all of that to us today. Right here. You see, even though Jesus has ascended into heaven, He's not gone. When He was lifted up, a cloud took Him out of their sight. That cloud is the ancient biblical signal of God's presence. Think of the cloud that led Israel through the wilderness, the cloud on Mount Sinai, the cloud at the temple's dedication, the cloud at Jesus' transfiguration. With this cloud, Jesus is signaling us that he will now be present among us in a different way, a way that doesn't rely on sight. Jesus promised to be with us always, and so he is with us, according to his promise, in those promises, especially where two or three are gathered in his name to receive the benefit of those promises. Jesus is with us as God and man in his word preached and his word touched, word and sacrament. Consider how we confess this in our liturgy. In preparation for Holy Communion, you hear, "Lift up your hearts," and you answer, "We lift them to the Lord." Now, where are you lifting your hearts to? Well, you're lifting them to Jesus, the right hand of the Father. And where is that? Well, it's not up in the air past the clouds. You're not lifting up your hearts outside the building somewhere, but you're lifting your hearts up to the altar where Jesus has promised to be with you, for you, hidden in bread and wine as he was once hidden by the cloud. "This is my body given for you," he says. "This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." This is where Jesus has promised to be with you as both God and man, where he unites you to himself with all of his body and with all the rest of his body in the church throughout the world. Here and now, heaven is present on earth. Here and now, our future binding together in love and eternal life is made a present reality. Here is where and how Jesus has promised to be with us. So here is where we who live by his word and promises, here is where we come to seek him and be united with him. Now Jesus can do all this for us, be here with us in this way, because he's no longer in his state of humiliation like he was before the cross. Now he's exalted, his state of exaltation, we call it. In the resurrection and ascension, Jesus has taken up once more all of his divine power and authority and attributes as both God and man. And since he's no longer limited to any local space like we are, he can be bodily present anywhere and everywhere, just as he promises. Since Jesus has ascended, he can be present with us in this supper. His body's not stuck in Jerusalem or heaven or anywhere else. In fact, Jesus' bodily presence here in the supper is far greater than his bodily presence with his disciples before Holy Week. Although they could see him and touch him, they were not partaking of him. But here in the sacrament, Jesus binds us to himself ever closer than we ever could have held him in our arms. Jesus' body and blood, his life and his love, literally become our own in this meal. Here he himself feeds us with himself. He feeds us in both body and soul. Here the holy bridegroom unites himself as one flesh, one body with his bride, the church. Jesus gives himself to us here in the mystery of the sacrament, in grace and forgiveness and unifying love. And Jesus giving himself in this holy meal is the very fulfillment of the incarnation. So we eat and drink. We endure in faith. And we long for the day when faith gives way to sight. But we don't spend our days staring at the sky and pining for Jesus. We'll see him on the day that he decides for us, either when we go to him through death or when he comes to us all on Judgment Day. And while we wait for him, we live lives of repentance. We seek Jesus where he's promised to be, in word and sacrament, worship of his church. We do what Jesus has given us to do. And what's that? Be his witnesses. His witnesses in Owego and Apalachin and Spencer and Nichols and Binghamton to the ends of the earth. Witnesses to what? Well, witness to the fact that, as it is written in the scriptures, Jesus the Christ suffered and on the third day rose from the dead, and now repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning with you. Jesus was born for you. Jesus has died for you. Jesus was raised for you. Jesus has ascended for you. And Jesus comes to you now to bring you his life and his love, so that where he is, you may be also, now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing.